This morning I'm going to read two scriptures to you. And they both are going to seem very familiar to you. But they're different perspectives. They're two different perspectives that you're going to look at when you look at these verses. So Philippians 4:19, it says, "And my God will supply all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." Okay, so right here, this is telling us or talking about when we have a need, we're to go to God. Okay, so that's out of Philippians. Now, Psalms 37:4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." Are those two different? In some respects, yes, they are. Because we know that we need oxygen to breathe. We need it. We know that we need food for our bodies. It's a need. It's a need. Something we need, rest. What are some of the other things that we need? We need wisdom. Okay? So this morning, let's go with delight yourself in the Lord. Is that talking about so much of a need, or is it more of a desire? It's a desire, right? So this morning I have a story, and this one's about desire, okay? I heard about this pastor who received a birthday gift from his parishioner. But you see, this parishioner knew that this pastor loved Skittles. So the parishioner brought the pastor 6 pounds of Skittles because he knew how much the pastor loved Skittles. So he gives the pastor 6 pounds of Skittles for his birthday, for a birthday gift. Well, at the time the pastor received this gift, his 11-year-old was standing next to him. So the pastor opened one package up, took out a handful, and he put it in the little boy, 11-year-old's hand. He gave him a handful of Skittles. Okay? Well, needless to say, he left the parsonage and ran home with these Skittles in his hands. Well, his little brother, who's 8 years old, saw the Skittles and said, "I want some." And it started an argument. Because the 11-year-old turned around and said, "My supply is limited. My Skittles supply is limited." So the 11-year-old said to the 8-year-old, "Go ask Dad. He has an endless supply of Skittles, enough to last for a whole year." Now, if we think about this little story, it might encourage us today. The 11-year-old didn't tell the 8-year-old to go find the Skittles. Notice that? He said, this is what he said. He said, "Go ask Dad. Dad's the one that's got the Skittles." So he didn't say, or didn't tell, the 11-year-old didn't tell the 8-year-old where to find the Skittles. He told him to find the father who had the Skittles. And Dad had more than a handful. Okay? And without realizing it, this 11-year-old boy, brother, the bigger brother, was telling the 8-year-old boy to position himself to receive. Because, see, if he told him that there were Skittles, knowing that Dad had the Skittles, the first thing he had to do, he knew he could go to his dad's office at the church, and they would probably be in the drawer, but he was still going to end up having to go to the dad or the father to ask if he can have some, right? So that 11-year-old told him, the first thing you got to do is you got to go to the father and ask the father. He's got plenty. He's got more than enough. I've just got a handful. But the father has more than enough. But he didn't tell him to go look for what he was searching for, which was what? The Skittles. He told him to go find the father. Because when you find the father, you can find all that the Father has. So don't just position yourself today to receive the blessing. You need to connect. You need to connect with the one who blesses. I'm going to say that again. So don't position yourself to receive the blessing, but position yourself to connect with the one who blesses. And as you sit here this morning in your pew, in this service, don't just position yourselves to receive the message, but position yourself to connect with the messenger, who is the Father. Don't just position yourself for healing, but go connect to the healer himself. Because once we find the healer, we can receive the healing, be it spiritual healing, physical healing, emotional healing, financial healing. We can go to the one who has it all. In James chapter 4, verse 8, it says, come near to God, and God will come near to you. So, of course, when we draw onto him, he's promising us that once we draw onto him, he will draw onto us. How many times have I shared with you that the Holy Spirit's a gentleman? He's not going to come in and control things. He's going to wait on you to say, Holy Spirit, you're welcome into this service. Holy Spirit, you're welcome into my life. Holy Spirit, you're welcome into this situation. I need you to lead and guide me. Holy Spirit, the other day I mislaid something and I need you to help me find it. Holy Spirit. So you're asking, and the Holy Spirit's going to be a gentleman. He's not going to step in until you ask him to. Okay, so when we're searching, first thing we need to do is connect with the Father. Connect with the Holy Spirit. Connect with Jesus. Because once we connect, they are the ones that have all that we need, all that we desire, all that, we sometimes say, well, my son's, wondering this position that he's got, am I doing this? Is this what God really wanted me to do? Is this where I'm supposed to be because I'm not with my family? And he questions, am I supposed to be here? And I said, God put that delight or that desire in you. You'll know when it's time to move on, or maybe God will have a position where you can work from home, because that eventually that's what he'll do. But see, we all get in those positions where we question, is this the right job, or is this the right time to do this, or is this the right time to travel, or is this the, I have a neighbor friend of mine who is going to be leaving the country with everything going on in Israel and all that's going on in the world. She's leaving to go to Brazil. It's part of her job. And she's talking about another place that when she's going to be gone, another time, like 2 or 3 weeks later, she's got another place she's got to go. And she's like, do I go? And I said, well, I usually, when I know she's leaving, I really pray for her because, and thank goodness she always has somebody else that goes with her. She's not traveling alone. But, we need to realize that when we step out and we're seeking, who are we seeking? Are we looking in the natural for a natural way to fix the circumstance or the situation or an answer? We're looking for it in the natural, whereas we should be finding the Father, seeking the Holy Spirit, looking to Jesus to give us that comfort and that peace, give us that unction to function in the Holy Spirit. Okay? So, the thing is, don't go searching for life. Go searching for the one who holds and gives life. Seek the Father, not the stuff. Seek the giver, not the gift. God will handle the rest. Before we receive the gift, we must connect with the giver of the gift, be it a need or a desire. So this morning, I'm going to give you a little clue, and then I want you guys to give me a little feedback. When I talk about when I talked about the first verse about it being a need in Philippians, that God supplies all of our needs, some of the needs I mentioned were healing, wisdom, direction, peace, joy, salvation for a loved one. What would be a desire? Anyone can think of a desire that you would like God to fulfill? Anyone? Go ahead.
Healing.
Okay. What's another? Not so necessary. Well, like this kid, he had the desire. The 8-year-old wanted more, or wanted some of his brother's Skittles. How about, is anybody looking for a new car? Anybody looking for a different home? Or anybody want to do more traveling? Can you think of any? Give me a couple. Anybody? No?
I'm satisfied, I guess.
You're satisfied. All right. But the point being is this, is we need to, whether...
for all.
Yes. And the thing is, there is a difference between a need and a desire. But the point being is that they all come from the same source. The same source. Now here's another story. You're going to laugh at this one. There's this cat. His name was Jack. He was 15 pounds. He was orange and white. And he took his job seriously. at guarding the owner's backyard. He often scared small animal intruders away. But the owners had noticed one day as they were eating breakfast and they looked out the window that Jack was sitting at the bottom of a tall tree looking up. What was he looking up at? A big black bear. Jack had hissed and hissed at this bear as it wandered out of the into the yard from a nearby wooded area. The scared bear quickly climbed up the tree. Now how could a big bear be frightened of a little kitty? And you're going to say, well, what's this got to do with what you're talking about? Well, think about it. Our thoughts of worry and fear, when we consider that we have the power from a good God who cares for us, that when we're going through trials and situations, that instead of looking at the circumstances, we get overwhelmed. We look at the natural. We see it in the natural. Isn't that what that bear did? Now, whether that hissing that that cat did, whether bears are afraid of snakes, I don't know, but maybe that hissing made him think it was a snake or, you know, something like that, and it spooked the bear. The bear was spooked and he got himself into a state of fear. I mean, that bear was probably 10 to 20 times the size of that cat. And yet, what's the bear do? He climbs up in the tree for safety. And this bold kitten or cat is sitting 15 pounds, is looking up like, I dare you to come down. So we can look at both of these scenarios. Let's say the bear, he's so focused on the fact that he's scared and that, you know, it startled him. So he's looking at the natural. Where the cat is standing his ground and he's not going to move. Isn't that what we should be doing? Isn't that what we should be doing when we've got the Word of God to stand on, to stand firm on? Isn't that what God wants us to do, is to take the Word of God and stand firmly and not move? Jack hissed and hissed at the bear as it wandered into the yard from the nearby area. The scared bear quickly climbed up the tree. How could a big bear be frightened of a little kitty? And again, even though we see our circumstances, our situations, they look overwhelming to us. They put us in a state of fear. And I'm going to read out of the Bible how an individual experienced just that, but how he got out of that focus of fear and how he moved on. But Jesus tells his disciples in Matthew chapter 6, he said, we don't have to be fearful or worried because our Heavenly Father knows our needs and we are valued by Him. If our Father values us, don't you think if we're valued by Him, He's certainly going to be concerned about our circumstances, our situations, and what we're going through. And not only that, He's also going to be concerned because He values us. He's going to say, go ahead, ask me something. What can I bless you with? I want to bless you with something today. What is it that you want? Because you're connecting with me. Every day you connect with me. You start your day with me. I want to bless you. I want to pour out my blessings on you because every single day you connect with me. You position yourself to be blessed because you connect with me. And that's what this message is all about today. So when something concerns us, what's our perspective? Are we focused on the natural, or are we going to focus on what God says about that situation? If not what we see, but how we see it, that reveals our attitude. Think about that cat. How did that cat see that bear? As an intruder. That's how he saw it, and he was defending his territory. How did the bear see it? All I know is I heard the hiss and I went running. Up the tree he went. So it's our attitude, it's how we see it. And that's the biggest battle that we have. The battle starts up here, remember? I told you, the battlefield of the mind. When our eyes see something, our ears hear something, or our body senses, you know, a situation that brings on stress. Any of these kind of circumstances, we're revealing our attitude. Are we going to stay in that situation, or are we going to seek the Lord in it? So, if we look at life through the lens of our powerful God, our good God, we'll trust Him instead of fearfully worrying. When our perspective is right, so when we get our perspective off of what's going on, and we get our perspective on what God wants us to do, and that's His word and His promise to us, then we have the right perspective. So let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and it begins with in this chapter we find King Jehoshaphat of Judah and his entire army. Now they're surrounded. They're surrounded by their enemy, trapped and overwhelmed. Okay, so you see the circumstances he's in. I mean, he's in the natural. He's seeing all these things that are going on. They are faced with an impossible situation, and there's no solution. In his own self, in his own power, there is absolutely no solution. Okay? So it goes on and says, Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, received the news that a vast army of Moabites and Ammonites was coming to attack. So how did he respond? Well, number one, actually King Jehoshaphat was afraid. He was afraid, but he did not allow that fear to paralyze him. That's what happened to the bear. He was paralyzed. I mean, he was literally up that tree. He wasn't coming down till that cat was gone. Okay? But King Jehoshaphat didn't allow that fear to paralyze him. So secondly, in verse 3, King Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. He proclaimed a fast in all of Judah. And then it says, King Jehoshaphat pushed past the fear and destined to seek the Lord for comfort and guidance. He knew that only God could give him a plan that was sure to bring him to success. How many of us know that when we connect with God, when we're going through a situation, or our family, our children, or our grandchildren are going through a situation, the first thing we do as parents, as grandparents, or great-grandparents, is we want to connect with God, absolutely, because we might be the only ones doing it. So we want to connect. So we're getting out of the natural realm of what's going on, and we're getting into the realm of the things of God. So it says, in verse 6-7, King Jehoshaphat began to pray his prayer by declaring who God is. Okay? And then it goes on, acknowledging how great he is and reviewing the mighty things he has done for his people. And then King Jehoshaphat expressed his confidence in the Lord to handle the problem. Okay? Then it goes on and says in verse 12, it says, King Jehoshaphat prays, O our God, will you not exercise judgment upon them? For we have no might to stand against this great company that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. This is out of the Amplified. So here's three things that took place in this scripture. First, he admitted to God that he had no might within himself to fight the enemy, that it was something that he could not do on his own. Secondly, he admitted that he did not know what to do. King Jehoshaphat did not know what to do with this situation, how to deal with it. And thirdly, he put his eyes on God. So these three things that Jehoshaphat had done for his people and with his people was a position where he put him and the people of Israel in a position to receive a miracle. How many of us need a miracle in our lives? Not maybe for ourselves, but for our family. How many of us, you know what? Salvation is a miracle. And I'm sure all of us either have a friend or a family member that needs salvation. That's a miracle. And I'm sure you're thinking, and a few people come to my mind, that would definitely be a miracle if that person received salvation, because they're so far beyond, you know, what in the natural to me looks like it would be impossible. But we serve such a big God. And you know what? He likes especially working with those kind that look absolutely impossible. How about Paul, who murdered and chained Christians? and put them in prison, and yet God used him, was able to use him. So it says, to follow King Jehoshaphat's example, we need to first position ourselves to seek God and hear from him concerning the situation that we are facing. We can begin by talking to God about his character, about his faithfulness, thanking him and praising him for who he is. Then we can acknowledge our total dependence on God, and that we can pray like King Jehoshaphat did, and admitting that we don't know what to do, we don't know how to do it, and that we're looking to God for the answers. We're looking to God to take care of this situation. Because when we plan, when we depend on him for his plan and his strength, we know that it's going to come out for good. So when trouble comes, the next thing that we need to do is what? We need to position ourselves to pray. So in verse 17, the Lord spoke to King Jehoshaphat and he said this, "You shall not need to fight in this battle. Take your position, stand still, and see the deliverance of our Lord who is with you and with all of Judah and Jerusalem." And then it says in verse 18, King Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord and worshipped him, out of Amplified. So in closing, so just as Jehoshaphat did, we too need to position ourselves to pray, not to get ourselves into fear. You know what? It says to be angry and sin not. We can actually be angry. It's what we do with that anger that brings us into sin. If we allow that anger to control us and we give backlash to that anger, to that person that we're angry with or angry at the situation, and we continue staying or walking in that anger, then it becomes a sin. Okay? Well, the same is true when it comes to fear. We have a choice. Yeah, at the moment, it's almost a natural instinct. I mean, I don't know how many times I've walked, when I lived in Spring Valley, I'd walk across my yard and I mowed that thing so faithfully. I mean, I had the grass so low that, you know, you could almost see the dirt because I did not like the snakes in my yard, but I had them all the time. And I mean to tell you, I mean, it never failed that I would almost, one time I stepped on one and I almost put my house up for sale that very day. But the point being is, you can't stay in that fear. You cannot stay in that fear. You have to get your focus off of what's in the natural and get your focus on the one that can bring you through it. But how do we do that? The first thing we have to do is connect with God. So, with that, remember that the battle belongs to the Lord. And as we position ourselves to seek and to worship him, will not only be in a position to win that battle, but we will walk every single day in his grace, in his mercy, in all that he has for us, to connect with the giver of the gifts, the messenger of the message, to position ourselves to connect to the one who blesses us with his love, with his mercy, with his grace, and with his faithfulness. Amen. Let's go ahead and close with prayer. Come on up, Cheryl. Father God, we thank you that you have made us your children. And today we ask that you place your crown of love and tender mercy and glory and honor upon us. That, Father, you help us to connect with you. And if we've connected and yet we still struggle, help us to reconnect. That to realize the importance of once we connect or reconnect with you, that all things are possible. All things are possible to him that believeth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.